Would you pray with me? Loving, expressive Lord, inhabit our hearts and our minds that only your truth would be heard, only your love felt. I pray this in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever had one of those nights where you stayed up later than you should, perhaps even recently on bringing in the new year. The kind of night where the next morning you wish you'd gone to sleep sooner, you know, that foggy feeling. And then have you ever on one of those days, one of those mornings, ever had someone come up to you as you're struggling to wake up and they say, "Rise and shine"? What's your reaction to that? Probably some of us just roll over and maybe sort of ignore them. And others of you maybe might be more gracious. You might laugh a little and tease them back. Some others of us might want really to punch them in the nose because we want to go back to sleep. Now, the passage this morning from Isaiah has long been a favorite of mine. It's one of those passages that I've had appear just when I needed it to. I don't know if you know what I mean by that. So the kind of thing when you're in trouble, you have a situation that you're stressed about, and then a passage just keeps showing up. It might show up maybe at first at church, and then maybe at a study, or maybe online, and then maybe even a friend quotes it to you. Now, I usually need a lot of reminders, so for me, they show up numerous times before I catch on. But Isaiah 60 was one of those that came for me in a time of proverbial ashes in my life. I had been diagnosed with a condition which had rendered me with 24/7 migraine headaches, a tremor in my right hand, and a seemingly progressive weakening of my feet and legs. It was probably the most terrifying dark time for me. And about a year after that was happening, I kept hearing the words from Isaiah 60. "Arise and shine, for your light has come." And I kept thinking, not feeling terribly shiny right now, God. Don't know what that's about. And this past year has been strange like that, right? Nobody could have predicted that we have been and are still going through a international, worldwide pandemic. Some of us will look back at 2020 and shake our heads. Some of us may have bid 2020 a good riddance on New Year's Eve. Some will be experiencing grief for both family and friends. It's been astounding and surreal to read and watch the news this past year. On the day I wrote this sermon, I was watching the news, and there was a report that stated that each and every single day in the United States for the last several weeks, there's been as many people dying every day from COVID-19 as did on the one day, September 11th, 2001. I wonder sometimes if those that experienced the two great wars may have felt something similar to what we're in the midst of now. So in a year full of many moments of darkness, having been through a Christmas that none of us could have predicted, we arrive at Epiphany. We arrive waiting. We arrive hoping, maybe perhaps with a little dis-ease, that we're wondering what might await us in 2021. The passage from Isaiah is written in a very similar and dark time in Israel. They have been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Yes, 70, that number is. You thought 10 months of a pandemic was a long time. And you can imagine that after being in exile for 70 years, that they might have begun to have lost hope. Israel is also in a pretty dark place in terms of the nation's moral darkness. And that he talks about that, Isaiah does in chapter 59. They've been idolatrous, and they've been carrying on in ways that they really shouldn't have. And yet the fate of Israel, after all of that, is not obliteration. Surprising, but true. Instead, God tells them that they should arise and shine because God's glory is rising upon them. They will be a beacon to a world that is in deep darkness. The news of Jerusalem's glory and what God has done will make her the wonder of the world. The text tells them and us to lift up their eyes. You may feel like the Israelites right now. Perhaps when you look around and you see the present distress, you may very well be discouraged, and understandably so. But if we look ahead, if we rise, if we keep our eyes on something greater, the situation looks very different. When we take the time to be aware that God is indeed present, as we say at the beginning of this service, that He is near us, as close as our very breath, then we become transformed by a certainty that everything around us also becomes transformed by. There's a perspective we gain by becoming aware of God's presence and glory. We see the issues around us in the light that they are meant to be seen in. We realize that our situation, our time, our experience is not all that there is in the world, and that we are a small, though important, part of a much larger picture. The Gospel of Matthew's story, is set in a very similarly dark time as Isaiah. Herod the Great was great for a few reasons. Now, he was a builder, an administrator, and a ruler, and a good one at that. But he was also great in political shenanigans, I'll say, and cruelty. He loved power, and he would have fits of jealous rage where he would kill even his closest associates. The Roman emperor at the time was reported to have said that it was easier to be Herod's pig than it would be to be Herod's son. So Herod had imposed back-breaking taxes on Israel and, quite frankly, resented them. So a dark time. Another aspect of this story, again, of course, is the light. And I'm talking about the one in the sky, of course, that famous star. Now, when we lived on an acreage, without the lights of the town disturbing the darkness, I remember being quite surprised at how Venus would light up the sky. And of course, in the ancient world, streetlights were not an issue, and reading the night sky was a fine art. They believed that when anything important was happening on Earth, you could expect to see it reflected in the heavens. If there was going to be an amazing event, it would be reflected in the stars. Now, you have no doubt heard this year that scholars have wondered what Matthew's star might have been. They've suggested Halley's Comet or a supernova, but more likely it's that Jupiter and Saturn were in conjunction with each other. Now, this is cool because Jupiter was considered the royal or kingly planet. Saturn is often thought of to represent the Jews. And so the conclusion is fairly obvious. A new king of the Jews is to be born. It happened this year, actually, that conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn on December 21st. Perhaps that's a hopeful sign. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us about this light to offer a cozy picture story sort of a book about a gentle bunch of Persian kings who just bring gifts to a lovely little baby in a manger. What Matthew is saying is political dynamite. Let me say that again. Matthew's not offering a cute, quaint little story. He is offering political dynamite. If Matthew's correct in naming Jesus the King of the Jews, then he is essentially naming Herod a false king. Herod is the imposter. Now, the house of Herod did not take kindly to the idea of anyone else claiming to be king of the Jews. I read somewhere recently someone suggesting that we should, and this was a quote, put Herod back in Christmas, unquote. Now, it sounds odd, but the point was to say that at the time of the birth of Jesus, it was also a dark time. It was as dark as the Babylonian exile, and as dark as it is for some people now. Herod was not someone to be trifled with, and people lived in fear of him. But without the darkness, we cannot conceive of the light when it does come. In the midst of a dark world, in the wake of a long and difficult year, in the surrounding that we have of the strangest politics in my lifetime and strange experiences of one another, what will we do in this time? I have one piece of advice, and that is that you draw near to the God that Isaiah promises is going to redeem you from all of it. The God who is larger than all of our situations, all of our grievances, all of our illnesses, and our problems and our grief. The God who insists on becoming human in that manger because he will not stay away from you. Draw close and stay close to our God. Let that ember begin to glow in you, and then rise up. The world needs that light. So here's the advice. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen.